This program is available on these quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audioboo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad. It's so hot. It's lovely. I'm nearly going to do topless radio again. maybe not. This is Postcard from Poprad. I'm Eric Wiltshire, and we're at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. On all the radio stations you heard at the beginning, on the platforms the other young lady talks about, and we're in the town of Poprad, which is why we call it Postcard from Poprad, because that's where I'm sitting. The scenery out my windows is indescribable. Absolutely, no, I can't do that. Over there in the boring part of Europe, it's Lee Banks.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody else who's listening. I would actually like to make something interesting out of the boringest part of the world, which I do agree it is. We have finally the barn, the big blue barn at the entrance to the village of the damned. Is about to go. It's about to be dragged down. It is going to vanish. It will no longer be here. The most iconic building in the village of the damned has gone, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it hasn't. Gosh. I made that last bit up. It'll be gone in a few days.
I wouldn't have slept, Lee.
No. A lot of people. No, it's an important building. It's over 100 years old. It is three stories high. It's higher than any of the houses.
That's why you're worried about it. You're higher than anybody else on the planet. You're 100 years old.
At the moment.
Yes, you are.
I'm not. I'm having cheese and onion. Well, toast. You can't, it's not like magic mushrooms.
Well, anyway, the magic's been carrying on down in Darwin, but she won't be there for much longer. It's Rachel Brunsdon.
Hello, hello. I keep dropping out for some reason. I dropped out just then, but I've dropped back in. Thank goodness. I love technology.
17. Oh, God. Anyway, boys and girls, Rach has started a new version of The Apprentice.
Mm.
She has, because it's official, and I saw it on Facebook. She's fired everyone in the house.
Yeah.
What's going on, Rach?
Well, it's just, look, I tell you how it is. Lately, I've been looking in the mirror. Yeah. No, I've been working. Beth, my daughter Beth, the teenager, the grotty teenager, has been.
She's not. Look.
No, all teenagers are grotty. They're just grotty. They leave their stuff lying around. They just are.
No.
I'm just
going to say, look in the mirror.
That's so rude.
Wind the clock back.
I just said to you, I was a grotty teenager. Teenagers are just grotty. It's just the way it is, right? So there's a grotty teenager in my house.
Has she started going, ugh, yet?
Ugh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There's that, and there's the rolling of the eyes, and there's, mum.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So there's that. Then, on the other hand, I have who I always have to deal with, the biggest slob in the universe, Rob Taglianti.
Oh, no, he's not.
And... yes, he is.
No,
and between
not.
The two of them, neither one of them knows how to pick up a dish, a cup, a piece of clothing, a piece of rubbish.
Are you telling me you have to feed both of them as well?
I have to feed them, but not only have I been working all day, I have to come home to mess, which I then have to clean up, then I have to cook, then I have to... I believe in restaurant rules. If you do the cooking, you shouldn't have to do the dishes.
Right.
That doesn't apply in this house. I cook, I do the dishes, and I do everything else. So I went on strike.
Rach. When you take the box from the freezer, you take the TV dinner out, take the wrapper off, put it in the microwave, that doesn't constitute cooking.
Well, that's why I don't do that, because that's disgusting.
Oh, right.
But even if I did do that,
yes,
they wouldn't throw the box away. It'd be everywhere. It'd be on the floor. They leave the wrapper on the bench. There's now an ant problem in my house. I said, right.
You've got
know
the whole family
this?
Visiting.
Yes, I do. There's a little carrying things out the door. And I thought, well, we're moving soon. Grab a piece of furniture. But I thought, well, okay. So I'm not going to wash a cup, a plate. I'm not going to wash anything else. So if there's no dishes to eat off, tough.
Have you not got a dishwasher?
I'm not going to cook anything either. If you want to eat, you have to cook it yourself.
Right, okay. Have you not got a dishwasher?
No, I am the dishwasher.
Oh, that's all right. Is it a new model called Rachel?
It's the old model called Rachel.
And Lee's suffering. Poor little lamb is suffering. As it's true, he does drive a Rolls Canardly. It rolls down the hills and can hardly get up because the suspension's messed up. As I've been saying all along, it's not the quality of a Bentley. It's a Rolls Canardly.
It's a little bit of linkage that's just gone a bit rattly because Britain never bothers to mend its roads anymore.
Oh, I see. Blame the American workers. Blame the American workers for your American car. And then, you know... No, it's wrong.
It's a little bit of linkage. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen...
How much is it going to cost you?
About, I don't know, about 150 quid.
That'll teach you to get a Rolls Canardly.
What's that? My linkages are better than the linkages you have on this show.
Ooh,
I got mine from Tony Blackburn. And anyway, I can't wait because the temperature's nice and high, the rain's stopped, and I'm going to be... I'm going to fly... my helicopter, not a kite. again, I like flying my helicopter. I'm not very good at it. I'm still learning. I've got my learner's ticket, but I am trying. Very trying.
You are very trying, actually, I must say. You really are.
Particularly when you're getting your chopper out, that's terrible.
Yes.
That's a terrible joke. That was done last week by somebody from Stafford.
Yeah, it was really, wasn't it?
Stafford people are like.
Yeah, I could do that. I could have a...
Yeah, it's not like that, snapping people.
Exactly.
Yeah, get your hand off my hoo-hoo.
I could have an Ericopter.
Helicopter.
An
helicopter. Yes. He went by helicopter.
Love it.
Oh, dear. This is allegedly a news programme, so we'll try and get some news in. Paul Mazursky. Paul Mazursky has died at the age of 84. And he was a good egg, actually, wasn't he?
Yep. He was a great egg.
He was. He made films, didn't he?
He made lovely films. There's a great film he made, a really funny film he made called Down and Out in Beverly Hills, which had Bette Midler and Nick Nolte, a horrible mugshot.
Poor old Nick.
And that was a great movie. It was hilarious. And, you know, he was all hooked up with the likes of Kubrick. And he was prolific.
I've only got one thing to say to you two.
What?
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys! And people say we monkey around! And we're too busy singing! What?
That's way more than one thing. That's way more than one thing. Way more.
Was it?
That was a whole lot of stuff.
Was it?
It was really unnecessary and hurtful.
It was a brilliant TV series.
The monkeys were better than the Beatles.
It was okay. It was silly. I preferred Davy Jones when he was on the Brady Bunch.
He was in Coronation Street.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
He was only little. Anyway, but no, really, while you're going on about the American Beatles, the monkeys, you have to remember, right, and Rachel will agree with this, that he created that incredibly fabulously comic film, I Love You, Alice B. Toklas.
Peter Sellers.
Yeah, with Peter Sellers. And that was based on, loosely based on I Love You, Catherine Takaka with Her by Leonard Cohen.
Right. Oh,
that's so good, too.
You know, every album from Leonard Cohen, which should come with some razor blades.
Don't be so.
What?
Leonard Cohen is one of the funniest performers you could ever actually see. He is so witty and charming. And a lot of his songs are done... with his tongue in cheeks. I'm not sure whose cheeks, but that's what he does.
Yes.
Anyway, on top of all that lot, we've got Bob Carroll, Ted and Alice. That was a good film.
No, it wasn't.
It was actually a really rubbish film.
I wish I hadn't put that toast in my mouth.
That was rubbish. That was rubbish film. You might gag on that toast now. That was terrible.
I've got no gags about toast.
That's all right. Yeah, it'll be
crazy. But An Unmarried Woman was a fantastic film.
Was it?
And the fabulous Jill Clayburgh, she was brilliant.
Actually, do you know what I would like you two to do for me? Would you do me a kindness?
Go away and let you do the show.
No. What? Would you put together the worst 10 films that each of you know?
No.
You just have to say 10 and we'll...
Yeah, that's a good starting point.
Oh, I like that film. So can you give me the worst 10 films that you like? Because occasionally, I do like to just occasionally watch film. And if you two give me your worst 10 films...
You'll love them.
I'll love them.
You will.
What was your worst film, Rach?
One of the worst films I ever saw ever...
Yeah.
...was... The Money Pit.
That was terrible.
Never heard of it.
It was a horrible film.
Is it?
And I loved Tom Hanks, and that was a horrendous, horrendous, horrendous piece of cinema. And there was another film that Henry Winkler did to try and break away from the Fonz, and it was called The Night Shift.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. That's good.
That was a dreadful
film. It's a good film.
Awful. And... It was awful, awful, and and the remake of Bedazzled.
Can we do the whole 10, Eric?
No, don't do that, not today. Anyway, because there is a purpose.
I want to do my worst film now.
Do your worst film then.
Exodus.
Oh yes.
Is that the singing one?
That was rubbish.
No, that was the sinking one.
No, it was sinking.
Was it?
It was terrible. Overblown, really? Ridiculous. And then there was the Carpetbaggers, Harold Robbins' The Carpetbaggers with...
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
That was appalling.
I like that one.
Wasn't it Carl Malden or something in that?
Carl Malden was in it. There was Xavier Dingy.
There's a reason behind this, you see.
I'm not doing it for you.
No, well, I've got my new toy, ain't I, at home.
Are you going to get them all and see if, and you'll love them. You'll think they're absolutely brilliant.
Well, I did manage to. I was left home alone on Saturday.
Ah, that's another horrible film. You'll enjoy that.
I do. That's a brilliant film. Home Alone. I like that one.
No, the whole franchise is just atrocious.
The whole franchise is brilliant. So I thought to myself, I just wired up my birthday present toy, which is a 300 watt 5.1 Dolby surround system. Rob will get all excited, right?
Yeah.
So I plugs it in, thinking, what shall I test it with? It's got to be music.
Yeah.
It's got to be loud. And it's got to be absolutely 5.1. So it goes whizzing around the room.
And Phil Harbour.
So I chose Phil Collins.
No!
In the Air Tonight. Yes.
And I'll tell you what, when it goes... Da-dum, 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 it goes all the way around the room. And in actual fact, I was in my flip-flops, as you do at home, and I could feel the bass vibrating through the floor.
Fantastic. It's when your teeth rattle out of your head. That's when you really got to look on there.
You get so excited about Phil Collins, a little bald.
He's fantastic. He's beautiful. Absolutely
wonderful.
Gorgeous.
Rob, what chance have you got? She likes Balkans that look like Phil Collins.
And then just to make it worse for the pair of you, I then thought to myself, I'm still home alone. I'll put a film on.
That's for listening to Phil Collins.
I'll put a film on now, nice and loud. So I chose The Boat That Rocked.
That's a good film. I like that film.
Oh, good.
It's a good film, but we've seen it that often now.
No. You should really hear it when the boat comes and it goes and hits the stones and it goes all across the room.
You should watch Pearl Harbor with your surround sound on. It's a terrible film. Terrible. It's a really dreadful film.
Oh, I've seen that on the telly. Really good. No, that's... I've seen that on the telly. It's brilliant.
It'd be good noisy.
No, it's lovely.
Well, what are the Transformer movies really loud? You'd like those.
Oh, no, Transformer movies. What a ludicrous concept that is.
Well, talking of ludicrous concepts, he says, desperately trying to get back together again, there's a new type of aircraft going around with a swimming pool in it. It's called a Qantas A380 aeroplane.
Yes.
And as you're flying from Los Angeles LAX airport, all of a sudden, there's a swimming pool in the middle of the plane. Has it flooded?
It's all right, I'll finish breakfast in a minute.
Look, you know what? And do you know what I love about this story the most? That they've got a quote from an actress that nobody's ever heard of. Hollywood actress Yvette Nicole Brown. Who is she?
I've heard of her.
I haven't.
She's a Hollywood actress.
Is she?
And she's called Yvette Nicola Brown.
Oh, right.
And she, Nicole Brown. See, that's what you've got wrong. It's not Nicola.
She's an actress. She got on the plane from Hollywood, and I think that's about as far as that story goes.
So I bet she's wearing a bathing costume. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sprayed across the front of it, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a bit, there was a bit of a leak.
Yes, slightly.
It was like water snakes on a plane.
Yes, I just...
Snakes on a plane, that's a horrible film.
That's horrible, and no, I don't like that one.
It was fun.
Anyway, just to cheer Lee up, knowing that he's got one, the idiot.
Plane?
No. All of you anoraks out there going, plasma TVs are great. I love my plasma TV. They're so good that Samsung have stopped making them.
Samsung? I didn't know he made them.
Samsung.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Rach, I watched on my plasma TV a few weeks ago.
Oh, dear.
He tied a yellow ribbon. John Wayne.
Oh, I love that.
Now, what a film that is.
Oh.
Exactly.
A lovely film. He walked like nobody. He walked out like a lot of hookers, but...
If ever I get insomnia... I'd put tie a yellow ribbon on.
It's brilliant film. And John Wayne walks like I don't know, like David Bowie.
Like a working girl on payday, like a working girl on shore leave.
That's right, yes. Yeah, and your half penny between your knees. That's it, isn't it?
So for Lee's benefit, get your manual out.
Okay. No, don't get your manual out if you're down the docks.
No, we'll get your manual out and have a look at your plasma telly and see how many candle hours it's got. Because then you'll find out when it's going to die and you can buy a proper LED telly and replace it.
How long do they last, roughly? How many candles do they have?
Thousands.
So it lasts thousands of hours?
Yeah.
We replaced all our Samsungs with Panasonics, but they're not plasmas.
No, they're LEDs.
Yeah.
That's 240 in 10 days, 2,040 in 100 days, 4,000, 6,000, that's 8,000. That's about 8,000 a year it'll use.
Is it wrong that I'm mildly aroused when Lee does out loud maths?
Yes.
I'm in a dreadful state when I do it. And that final coming together when you get the answer.
I don't know. You'll have to look in your book. Anyway, carrying on the Lee theme, two young ladies who found out they've got the same boyfriend.
Oh, no.
They dumped him by putting a banner on a motorway, a highway in the UK. The huge boat poster was attached to a bridge on the northbound carriageway in Gateshead, near the Angel of the North. That's that horrible rusty thing, which I don't understand at all.
I do.
No, it's just a piece of rusty metal.
It's an angel.
It's a piece of rusty metal.
It's an angel with a dirty face.
It's a rusty piece of metal.
That was a good film, wasn't it, Rage?
What, rusty piece of metal?
No, angels with
angels
dirty faces.
With dirty faces. That's Time Alone.
Exactly. Now the media have gone a bit bonkers about this. Hold on a minute, and they've actually done big stuff on this.
Shut up, Rachel.
I'm not screwing up to be punchline. So anyway, it says Steve Fraser, you've been dumped by both your girlfriends, as if it's something very new. But I've got a shock for these journalists.
It's
been done before.
It happened to me. Do you want me to tell you about what happened to me?
Well, as long as it's under 10 minutes.
It's under 10 minutes, I can do it. I'll tell you what I'll do then. I promise I won't have my next piece of cheese on toast.
Right, good.
Tell him. All right. So anyway, I was seeing a young lady whose name escapes me now. I think she was like Catherine Tococka with her or something like that. And she invited me to a party. And so I said, yes, darling, I'd be happy to go to the party with you. And being somebody who imbibed elations, I think I forgot that I was going to this party with this young lady. So I turned up at the party with another young lady, and they both instantly got together in a corner And one by one, which I thought was really nice, and then something strange happened, they walked up and both slapped me in the face. Then another girl, who had nothing to do with me, walked and slapped me in the face as well.
Good.
Do you know what I like about this? Usually, the women are kind of, sorry, girls, and I am one of you, and most of the time.
What is that noise?
That's my puppy playing soccer with his food bowl. He's stopped now.
Oh my lord!
I want my food. Can you please put something in it? I'll take it off him in a sec. But usually women turn on each other, not the man. They turn on each other.
Right.
But these girls didn't. They banded together, and now I'm going to confiscate the dog bowl.
And we stay in the world of Mr. Banks, because Robbie Williams has been given the freedom of Stoke.
Well, that's a really interesting story.
They didn't give it to you, did they?
No, they banned me book.
Exactly.
They banned me book. He gets the freedom of the city, I get me book banned.
Yeah.
Cheeky monkeys.
Stoke-on-Trent
is a wonderful place. And here's the rub with Robbie Williams, right?
Yeah.
Robbie Williams, who I don't admire as a recording artist, but as a performing artist, I think he's a genius.
Yes.
He's a very good entertainer.
Yeah,
he is, and he has always maintained a place in Stoke-on-Trent. He was actually apparently born in Burslem, but other people say he was born in Fenton and places like that. Yeah. But anyway, he's always kept a place in Stoke-on-Trent. Anyway, when he got given the freedom of the city, right, which it isn't a city actually, it's still only a town. It just pretends to be a city, right?
No. To be clear, they did just say Stoke-on-Trent. They didn't do the freedom of the city bit.
The freedom of the city, it's there in black and white.
Yeah, but that was just some numpty writing it up wrong.
Well, it is classed as a city as well, but they've not actually earned city status. It's a very complicated place, Stoke-on-Trent. I know a lot about it because I wrote a book that got banned. What a book about Stoke-on-Trent. Anyway, so Robbie Williams, right, has just sold his house in Stoke-on-Trent for about £3.5 million, rumours have it. So he's now leaving Stoke-on-Trent after maintaining a presence here for the last 40 years.
Mm.
And so, stupid Stoke-on-Trent, give him the freedom of this city. Well, that'll save him money because he won't be there, will he? He's not going to cost them anything to do it.
That's all right then, they got the free advertising out of it.
Exactly. What a con. And also, most people are very annoyed in Stoke-on-Trent as well, because it appears that Mr. Williams sneaked into the town to get his thing and then sneaked off again. Nobody saw him, nobody heard him. Isn't he big? He's got a really big head, hasn't he, and a big body. He looks like he's been drawn.
Oh, here we go again.
He's bigger than anybody else in the world.
I want to say thank you to a young gentleman. He's only 52, young gentleman. No. His name's Bob Renning. And I wish there was more things like this that went around the world. Because as he was driving down a highway in Minnesota, he saw a car filling up with smoke. He couldn't get in. And, you know, he bent the door. He bent the door so far that the glass shattered, and he was able to get the person in the car out, otherwise they would have been deaded.
Mm.
It's amazing how people do the flight or fight response, and they run towards the danger and they just help somebody just because they see the danger and they are compelled to intervene. I'm a big coward, and I would probably be stunned into frozen, you know.
You wouldn't, Rach, because I can tell you, many years ago, hello, Carolyn, a friend of mine was driving the car. She didn't drive it very well and ended up going down a big ditch. And I'm not saying Carolyn's fat, because she's not, but she's a tall lady and she rides horses. She's very muscular and therefore she's not light. If you see what I
prefer to be fat than that.
She's athletic, yes.
Yes, she's very athletic. So she's down at the bottom because her side of the car's down on the field edge. My bit's facing upwards. I can smell petrol, which panics the hell out of me. And I literally took both seatbelts off, lifted her up. Unfortunately, I bruised her on the way out, which apparently hurt her a lot, but I couldn't really see that bit. And I literally just threw her out the window up the bank. Now, I wouldn't normally be able to lift her.
Yeah.
But you do when that
adrenaline.
When that kicks in.
I came across an accident once. Actually, you're right, and I wouldn't freeze because I didn't. I came across an accident in the right up in the bush in Adelaide.
Mm.
It was a dirt road, and a man had taken a corner on this dirt gravel road really way too fast.
Mm.
Lost control of his vehicle, ploughed directly into a tree, and he jammed so far forward that his kneecaps had actually gone halfway up his thighs.
Gosh.
And his head had been gashed open, and I couldn't open the doors, so I jumped, because I'm not that big, I jumped through the smashed window.
Yeah.
And held his face together until an ambulance Ooh. Was able to get there.
Yeah.
So I didn't think anything of it, actually. And when it was all over, I felt a bit ill.
Yep.
But I didn't think anything of it at the time.
Well, anyway, Bob, the adrenaline kicked him because he gripped the top of the door frame with his fingers, put his foot against the metal bit of the door and pulled like Mary Heck and smashed the window, pulled the thing down and helped the Michael Johans.
Yeah.
Get out of the car. So well done, Bob.
Well done. Can I now tell my story about a fuel adrenaline filled
accident? Go on then.
It's only brief.
Yeah, do it.
It's only brief.
You sure it's only, is it boxers or brief?
It's briefs and it's little in its briefness.
Right. It's a thong.
It's a thong at twilight, yeah. Right. So here's what happened, right, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a, just outside the village of the Damned, there's a railway crossing. You know, one of those with barriers that come up and down like that, half barriers?
No.
And it's on a bit of a hill. I'm walking down that hill towards the crossing, and in front of me is a bloke with a dog. It was a golden retriever.
That's the end of part one, boys and girls. We'll be back in a second. I'm lying.
You got me.
I did.
You got me too.
I really
did. You're not going to do it to him.
So anyway, this bloke was walking down in front of me with his dog, a golden retriever. Right, sorry, you have to forgive me for that, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have a cough button like him. So anyway,
as he's
walking
button.
Down, the car slowed down because the barriers are down. Right? And as this car, a green car, drives past the bloke with the dog jumps up at the car and starts to put its paws on the paintwork so it can have a look at the driver. The driver's not very happy, wicks his window down and pushes the dog off. The bloke who owns the dog isn't very pleased that this bloke assaulted his dog, right? So they have a few words. The barrier, like I say, is down. The traffic stops. So the bloke in the car gets out to punch the bloke whose dog has just scratched his car. The bloke who's like got the dog hangs the, listen, this is terrible, puts the lead, the dog's lead, on the end of the barrier and squares up to the bloke in front of him.
No.
So I'm standing there thinking, this is a bit bad. So anyway, all of a sudden this train goes flying by and the barriers start to go up. Well, the dog starts to go up the barrier. The dog's standing there on its hind legs. It thinks it's quite funny at the time. It's like being in a circus and it's laughing and, you know, they do the songs. I'm going, like that. Anyway, I start to shout at this bloke. I say, look, your dog, like that. And the bloke looks at me. This bloke takes a punch at him. Then they both see the dog, who by now is actually suspended in mid.
And that's the end of part one, boys and girls. We'll never find out what really happened. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.